Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast.
This summer, something happened to my wife and I. We got rained on. Something happened that we just were not prepared for at all. Our oldest son, David, who is 10 years old, began sleepwalking. Which if you've never seen your child sleepwalk, it's the creepiest thing in the world. For those of you not familiar, a sleepwalking child looks a lot like a drug addict coming off of a high. Like David would wake up in the middle of the night, he'd sleepwalk, but we'd wake up and he'd be in our room and he'd be fidgeting. And he was always messing up with his nose. And he just would just kind of look at it like this, like, David, what's going on? I don't know. I say, David, what's wrong? What do you need? I don't know. And he'd always say crazy stuff like, I need to cut the grass. I need to cut. What? Or he would say, John won't stop hitting me. Now, John's been in his own bed for 4 hours. But David would just, so we'd try to talk to him, and we'd eventually send him back to bed. But when he would go to bed, the craziest thing would happen. He would get back to bed, and he would wake himself up. He would then look at the clock and see that it was midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. He would then, this was the craziest part, he would convince himself he'd been awake the whole time. And my son's a bit of a worrier anyway, so he would start doing the math. And he would start saying things like, oh, I'm not going to get enough sleep. Oh, what am I going to do? So he'd come back upstairs to tell us that he had been awake all night and that he was scared that he was going to feel bad tomorrow because he didn't get enough sleep. It was insane. And so we kept having to deal with this for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we constantly tried to explain to him, baby, you've been asleep. Like, we would literally put him to bed and we'd go check on him 20 minutes later. He would be out. He would be as asleep as he could be. But eventually he'd sleepwalk, then he'd wake himself up, and then he would just get himself all worked up because he was convinced he hadn't been asleep. He was never going to fall asleep. So nighttime became a nightmare for a 10-year-old. Every time it was time to go to bed, I'm never going to go to sleep ever again. It's never going to happen. My like, yeah, he's a little dramatic too. And so my wife started drugging him. Nighttime Benadryl. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. We don't do that much. And so anyway, like, it was one of those things where we actually finally went to the doctor. The doctor was like, this is kind of normal. He'll grow out of it. And once he started school, had to start getting up earlier. He was more tired, but he went to bed. And it kind of went away. But man, this summer, it was really difficult. If you're a parent, you've probably experienced this. Like, it's very challenging. It's very difficult when you know your child has a completely irrational fear. And you know it's irrational because you're the adult and you're the parent and you're smarter and you can see the whole picture. You know, like, you know there's no monster under the bed, right? Like, you know there is absolutely no reason for them to have the fear they have. Yet there's nothing you can do about it. You can just talk to them and try to explain it to them, but you can't change the way they feel. If you're a parent in the room, you've probably experienced that emotion. I know we did this summer with Dave, and it was really challenging. And the reason I tell you that story is because I'm convinced that the God of the universe looks at us the same way. And he looks at the things that cause us fear and cause us anxiety and cause us angst and keep us up at night. And he wants to look at it and say, really? That's what you're afraid of? That's not even real. Like, that's not even going to happen. I know the future. I know it's not going to happen. But it doesn't matter, right? Because fear is a very real thing, which is why we're beginning a series today all about fear. We're calling it fearless. We're going to try to learn how to be brave. And where we're going to start today is we're going to start with the problem of fear. Because here's the problem with fear. Many of you think having fear is a wise thing to do. You think fear keeps you safe. But the kind of fear I'm talking about, I think, is actually very dangerous. Because what happens with fear is we take our eyes off of the one who can actually do something about the things we're afraid of. who can actually do something about the things we're scared of. And now, what I'm going to do today, rather than try to go in a really long introduction and try to explain it to you, we're going to jump straight into a story from Jesus' life. Because there's a story from Jesus' life that perfectly encapsulates the danger of fear, right? Today's kind of a typical week one of a series here at Wellspring. Today's just an intro. Today I'm kind of presenting the problem, right? And then what we're going to do over the rest of the series is we're going to look into God's word and we're going to solve the problem. Because God has some very strong things to say about fear. He has some very strong things about how we can live fearless. How can we have less fear in our life? And that is really what I want for all of us, right? But what we've got to do today, before we can talk about why we need less fear, we've got to talk about how dangerous fear can be. So there's a story from the life of Jesus that is great. It's from the book of Mark. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. We're going to be in Mark chapter 4. And interestingly enough, this story takes place during a storm. So God, thank you for the sound effects today. That's pretty cool for you to hook me up like that. But what happens in this story is we see Jesus' closest followers. We see his disciples, people who had seen him do amazing things. And we see firsthand the danger of fear in our lives. It was dangerous to them, and it can be just as dangerous to you. So I want to jump right in and explain why I feel this way, right? So if you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to be starting in verse 35. And here's what it says. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. It's getting dark. And he says, hey, come on, let's go to the other side of the lake. Now, at this point in Jesus' ministry, his disciples would have done anything he asked. Yes, moms. If he had said, jump off a bridge, they would have jumped off the bridge. And you would have been so disappointed in them. But they would have. But here's why. Here's why. I want you to look at all the things his disciples had seen him do by this point. All right? Can y'all hear me? Do I need to talk louder? All right, just making sure. Just do this. If at some point you can't hear me, raise your hand. All right? And I'll talk louder because I can't hear you at all. You could be replying to me. All I'm hearing is the glorious reign of Jesus Christ. So glorious. So glorious. Anyway. So here are the miracles that these disciples had seen him perform at this point. They'd seen him turn water into wine, and some of you said, amen. They'd seen him heal a sick child. They'd seen him heal Peter's mother-in-law. Little known fact. That's why Peter denied him three times later, because he healed his mother-in-law. Huh? Get it? I'm just kidding. My mother-in-law's not here today, so I can make that joke. Because I love her. It was a joke. They'd seen him cure lepers. Seen him heal a paralyzed man since birth. Held a man's disfigured hand and had seen him raise a boy from the dead. He'd seen him do all these things, right? Probably even more, because we're told in all the biography accounts of Jesus' life that they didn't record everything Jesus did. So by this time, they had seen him do at least all of these things, right? So they were on fire. They were so excited, man. They were ready to go, like many of you are. You know, maybe this faith thing is new to you and you just kind of started getting into Jesus, and you're just on fire. You're just so excited. You're so excited that you were willing to ignore the state of South Carolina and get on the road this morning and come to church. You're like, I don't care about no flood. I got Jesus in me. Woo! You know, you were so excited. That's where these guys are, man. Like, they were on fire. But I want you to see how quickly that fire goes away when fear enters the picture, all right? Here's what happens. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. Other boats followed, that was like the first century paparazzi, right? They were following Jesus, wanted to see what he was gonna do. But Jesus and his followers get in a boat and they head to the other side of the lake. Now, a lot of times we can skip over that phrase, they get in a boat, but it's very important. The reason they were able to get in a boat is because several of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. They were professional fishermen, right? You had Peter and Andrew. You had James and John. They were professional fishermen. Now, what that means is, if you've ever seen the show Deadliest Catch, right? That's who these guys were. Like, Captain Sig Hansen was one of the disciples. Right? That's who we're talking about here. These guys were professionals. They knew the water. They made their living on the water. And they were going to take Jesus back to the other side of the lake. Okay? So these guys know what's going on. Right? They've got their act together. Watch what happens. But soon, a fierce storm came up. high waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. I know, hard to picture, right? Something filling with water, like our parking lot. These guys go out in the ocean, go out in the lake, and a storm comes up. You may wonder, how could a storm come up? Well, the Sea of Galilee, that's where they were. The Sea of Galilee was kind of down in a little basin, right? It was surrounded by mountains. So what that meant was it could be completely calm and a storm could come up like that. Well, that's what's happened here, right? They're going out in the lake and a storm's come up. And not only has a storm come up, it's nighttime. It is pitch black dark and it is the absolute worst time to be out on the lake, okay? And they know it's bad. Like Sig Hansen is calling his crew right now saying, this is not good. We are in trouble, right? So this wasn't even like a fake fear. It wasn't a false fear. It wasn't monsters under your bed kind of fear. These guys legitimately had a reason to be afraid because they're out in the middle of the lake. There's a huge storm. It's pitch black dark. They don't know what to do. And then they think, wait, I remember we have Jesus. Jesus, yes, we have Jesus. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Like they are so excited that they have Jesus. And so they begin looking for Jesus. And here is what they find. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. Jesus is asleep. These professional fishermen know that they are in grave danger. They know that things could end, and they know they have a guy who can perform miracles with them. They turn, they look, and they find Jesus sleeping. Where was he sleeping? Let me show you a picture of the boat. Here's where he was sleeping. He was sleeping right here at the back. You see how there's a little deck right there? Jesus was underneath there, fast asleep. He was just back there, kicked back, chilling out, sleeping. Now, I have a question for you today. How many of you in your life have ever felt like, maybe, just maybe, Jesus is asleep? You ever felt that way? Like you look to him, you need him, and he's asleep? See, here's what I think he was doing. Jesus, because see, Jesus was fully human, right? So he was all kicked back. He was chilling, had his little pillow. Jesus was asleep. Now, in my brain, when they look and they see Jesus asleep, I don't think he was like cute sleeping. I don't think it was this pretty. I think Jesus maybe on his back, maybe had a little drool coming out, you know, because I mean, he was tired. And so they look and Jesus. Jesus is just kicked back, man. Jesus is asleep. Now, what would you do? You're terrified, scared out of your mind. This was his idea to go across the lake. You're now in danger, and Jesus is asleep. What would you do? Let me tell you what they did. Every miracle, every memory they ever had of the goodness of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the might of Jesus, gone in an instant. And they were filled with fear. And here's what they did. The disciples woke him up shouting. Now again, this is Jesus. They'd seen him heal a child, raise a child back to life, heal paralyzed men, turn water into wine. They knew he was the Son of God. He was all powerful. But they were so afraid that he was asleep in the midst of their storm. They turn and they ask him this question. Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care? They're so afraid. They're so filled with fear. They begin to doubt who Jesus says he is. And they begin to doubt what he says he can do. And this is really the heart of the story. This is what we're talking about today. And this is why fear is so dangerous. Because fear causes us to doubt God. Notice they didn't ask Jesus, Are you strong enough to calm this storm? Are you aware that there's a storm? Hey, Jesus, you're sleeping. I know. Can we wake you up? Do you know there's a storm here? Hey, can we bother you for a minute? No. They jump straight to, don't you care? What's wrong with you, Jesus? Why don't you love me? See, that's why fear is so dangerous, guys. There's three reasons fear is so dangerous. Number one, fear corrodes our confidence in God's goodness. It does. It corrodes our confidence in God's goodness. We immediately begin to turn. We begin to wonder, does he care about me at all? There he is sleeping. I don't understand. How could he allow this to happen to me? How could he allow my child to get sick? How could he allow me to lose this job? How could he allow this to happen? How could he allow them to say that about me? How could he allow this to happen? What am I going to do? And why doesn't Jesus care? Why is Jesus asleep? Why is he not paying attention to me? Why is he not stepping up? Why is he not moving right now when I need him to move? Why? And it's all driven by fear. Because fear corrodes our confidence in God's goodness. I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, well, I mean, I've never seen Jesus perform miracles. But I mean, these guys have seen all this stuff. Let me remind you all they had seen. Look at this. They'd seen all these things. How come at least one of them didn't speak up and say, God, hold on. I know it's scary, guys, but he's Jesus. Like, I know we're afraid, but come on, this is Jesus. This guy's had our back forever. Well, of course he cares. Not one of them spoke up. Do you know why? It's because fear causes spiritual amnesia. Fear causes us to forget everything God's done for us. It causes us to forget all the great things he's done because the fear becomes so tangible and becomes so real that it blocks out everything else. And that's exactly what was happening in this moment. Fear had won the day, and they were terrified. They began to doubt God. They began to doubt his goodness, and they forgot everything he'd ever done. All because of fear. But watch what happens. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Just like that. Jesus wakes up, and he saves the day. Now, I've heard this story since I was a little kid. This is one of those Bible stories I was taught. I mean, I attended church my entire life. This is one of the first ones they teach. Like, this one comes early. Right? And I think it's because it captures this superhero fascination we have as small kids and even today, right? And so a lot of times I think when people picture this event, I think we picture it wrong, right? Because I think we picture it as this some miraculous, swooping in, superhero kind of thing. So I kind of want to set the stage for you. I want to give you a picture of how you think it happened. And then I want to show you how I think it happened, okay? So here's how I bet you think it happened, right? They're out there, they're on the boat, and you got to remember, it's nighttime. It is dark. And it is storming. Rain is coming down, there's lightning everywhere. They are terrified. They do not know what to do. And they need to be rescued. See, that's how you think it happened, isn't it? You think Superman showed up. That's how you think it went down. Right? Excuse me while I button my shirt. That's how you think it went down. But see, that's not how I think it went down. That's not how I think the picture happened. So let me paint for you the picture as I see it, all right? Let's go back to the storm. Let's go back to the darkness and back to the waves, and to the wind and the lightning. And remember, Jesus is asleep. He's passed out over here, man. He's just chilling. He's sleeping, a little drool. And they shake him and wake him up. And he looks up, rubs his eyes, realizes what's happening, and guess what happened? Silence. Be still. It was like he hit snooze, right? And it's funny, we don't like that picture as much. We don't like the picture of Jesus just casually turning his head and calming the storm. We want the Savior. We want this massive thing to come flying in and save us, because that's how much danger we think we're in. Do you know why you think that? It's because fear always maximizes our view of the danger and minimizes our view of God. It maximizes the fear and maximizes the problem and minimizes our God. So we need this huge God. We need this superhero God. We need Superman God. Nope. Yawning God. Waking up and calming the storm. Do you know why? Because it was just that easy for him to do. Jesus was not asleep in the back of the boat because he didn't care. He was asleep in the back of the boat because he was in control. He had complete control of the situation. He knew what was going on. He wasn't concerned. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't abandoning them. He just knew he had it under control. And the reason they didn't know he had it under control was because their fear had taken over. Their fear had strangled them. Their fear had pushed out all the goodness of God and all their faith they had in God. Which is why Jesus asks this question. He looks at them after he calms the storm, and then he asks them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And that's really the heart of the entire series. Because fear and faith can't exist in the same heart. Because what's going to happen every time we give in to fear, every time we allow fear to move in, when fear rises, faith falls. Every single time. And that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't mad at them. He was surprised. He was saying, after all that you've seen, after all that you've heard, after all that you've experienced me do, you still don't have faith. See, that's really the goal of this series. I don't want to shrink your fear. I want to grow your faith. I want the God of the universe to fill you with such faith and such hope and such trust in him that in the midst of any and every storm, the response isn't, God, can you? But God, when will you? It's not, God, can you do this? God, don't you care? It's, oh man, Jesus, I can't wait to see what you're going to do with this. Because this is big. And this is scary. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. And that's really where we're going to go throughout the rest of this series. But today, I just want to settle, right as we wrap up, I want to settle in on this realization. I want to talk about faith. Because what happened, think about this. They lost faith in the midst of a storm, in the one that controlled the storm. They let the thing they were in overpower the one who was over the thing they were in. You understand, God's over everything, right? God's in charge. God knows what's coming. And what Jesus is trying to say is fear is so dangerous because it causes us to take our eyes off of Jesus. When fear rises, faith falls. And what Jesus is trying to say is, why on earth would you ever be afraid when you can have faith in the one who created the world? When you can have faith in the one who gave his own son and then raised him back to life? When you can have faith in the one that is currently healing your marriage? Help me. He has the power to heal your marriage, but he doesn't have the power to get you out of this thing. He has the power to help you break this addiction. He has the power to change the life of your teenager. But then we get afraid and we have fear and we don't think he has the power to do what we need him to do. So there's a question I'm going to ask you, and we're going to basically walk through it through the entire series. And it's a question you have to decide, because it really is a choice. It's the first step in being fearless. It's the first step in learning how to be brave. And here's what he says. The question is this: will I walk in fear, or will I walk in faith? Will I walk in fear, or will I walk in faith? As we wrap up today, I want to read you one more verse, and then we're done. Just a piece of hope for you to have, and here's that verse. In Romans 8, it says this. It said, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? That's what I want to leave you with today. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? This week, as you walk through your life, ask the question, will I walk in fear? Will I walk in faith? Will I allow fear to rise? Or will I cling to my faith? Come back next week, and we'll talk about how to do it. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you so much. Father, we thank you that you are a God of protection. Father, I pray you be with us now. Keep us safe. We thank you for bringing us here together. Keep us safe as we leave. Calm our fears and increase our faith. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.